Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. You guys will be happy to know that that is the last Royals game that will interfere with the show. It is behind us. We have moved on. We no longer have to let the under 500 Royals interrupt our time together. This is quality time between us. You guys are going to be very annoyed with me by the end of this thing because we got 20 hours a week for the foreseeable future. I am very happy to be here. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Brenton is here taking you up until 6 o'clock. We're on a little bit later than usual because of the Kansas City Royals. And you know what? I want to start today's show by reading you guys a couple of stats. Now, you are probably thinking that this is where we do the 0-2 stats. You know what? I try to be a little bit less predictable than that. I mean, at some point, we'll get to the 0-2 stats, but I don't really think the 0-2 stats, especially when we are talking about the team that Kansas City is, I don't think it's that bad. Now, I know what the percentages say. Out of the last 41 teams that have started 0-2, only 5 of them have made the postseason. I think when you hear the teams that actually made the postseason, it will make a lot more sense to you, at least for me, why I'm not worried about the Royals and while I think the sample size is a little bit skewed. But that's not where I want to begin today's show. I want to give you guys a couple of quotes about the Chiefs offense because I think that's a great place to start. I personally am not nearly as worried about the defense that I am about the offense. If you've been listening to the show, I've told you guys, I don't think that they currently, I'm not talking about when Rice gets back, I'm not talking about Worthy, we'll see how healthy he is going to be for Sunday's game. I don't think there's a lot of dogs in the offense, and I think that is a major problem. I think in some ways the Chiefs front office has kind of let the offense kind of go its own merry little way, and they haven't put the necessary resources to give them a dynamic offense. So let me read you guys a couple of stats. This first stat comes from Nate Taylor. This is a crazy stat. Patrick Mahomes is just the second quarterback since 1950 to record double the amount of rushing yards than any other player on his team since Cam Newton with the Carolina Panthers. Think about all of the rushing quarterbacks we have seen since 1950 until today. I mean, we're talking about some dynamic running quarterbacks. We're talking about Lamar Jackson, Michael Vick. We can go up and down the list of quarterbacks that use their legs as a primary weapon, or you would consider them very dangerous, or running quarterbacks. The fact that Patrick Mahomes is on a list with Cam Newton for how often he has taken off, how effective he has been as a rusher, and how much better he is in terms of moving the ball via the ground than anybody else on the team is a major problem. Now, I've told you guys that before. I want to read to you guys a stat also from Nate Taylor of ESPN, because this, to me, gives you an insight into how the Chiefs are thinking and how they thought coming into the season. This is, again, from our dear friend Nate Taylor of ESPN. The Chiefs remain puzzled by its struggles in the run game. The team believed that Isaiah Pacheco was running like his old self in camp, and that would be productive out of the gate. Well, that has not been the case. You're right. Let's really examine this. Now, I don't need to go back and tell you guys that I saw this coming a mile away. Many of you also saw this coming from a mile away, that the Chiefs needed to do more this offseason in the run game, and they haven't done it. All right, we're here. You can't go back to April. You can't go back to March and tell the Chiefs how the beginning of the season is going to play itself out. We are now here. It is now the middle of September. They are getting ready for their game against the Giants. What does all of this mean? Now, number one, I can't believe that they're puzzled that they can't run the football. They couldn't run the football really at any point last season, and they brought back all of the same running backs. How can you be puzzled that you get the same results that you got last year? But again, I'm moving forward. I'm moving on. The Chiefs at some point this offseason are either going to have to do one of these two things during the season. They're either going to have to trust Elijah Mitchell and Breshard Smith and believe that they are a part of the solution in turning this run game around, or they're going to have to make a trade for somebody else. The way that they are currently running the football is not viable long term. If you are looking to get yourself out of the hole that you have created, and not just that, if you were talking about being a Super Bowl contending team, the way that we all expect the Chiefs to be, this is not a long-term plan of how your offense can continue to operate. So it doesn't matter how we've got here. It doesn't matter. It's like if you're driving around and you're lost, it doesn't really matter whose fault or why you got lost. Now your number one objective is, how do we get back to a place in which I know where I am so I can get myself safely home? That's where I am with the Chiefs. There's no crying over spilled milk. We all see the flaws in their run game. So whether you would say that it is the parts, whether you would say that it's the running back that they pick, whether you think it's the offensive line, whether you think it's the play calling, whatever you think that it is, none of that matters now. How do they get themselves out of this situation? They need to be willing to trade a sixth or a seventh round pick to go get themselves a running back. I don't know if they're going to be able to fix this with Isaiah Pacheco. He seems broken to me in a lot of ways. You remember the Isaiah Pacheco back in 2022, 2023. He ran with a certain level of fire, energy, and I thought that that energy motivated the rest of the team. I thought it really got everybody else energized and got everybody fired up. When's the last time you felt like you saw Isaiah Pacheco run that way? With that level of confidence, with that level of cut. He talked about this being a revenge tour. He sat in Brazil and said that it was going to be a revenge tour. It got me all hot and bothered. I'm thinking, all right, I see you, Isaiah. That is not where we currently are with this run game. So, Rob, as we begin the show, and I do want to play for you guys what Dan Orlovsky had to say about the Chiefs' offense and the current state that he thinks that it's in, I'm surprised that they're surprised that they can't run the football. It is something that you and I have both noticed. Their plan on offense was seemingly hope that everybody was going to be healthy and bounce back to where they were, and that plan has gotten off to a very slow start. Isaiah Pacheco was not bounced back. You lost Xavier Worthy. You were maybe potentially planning on having Rice, at least for the early portion of the season, but they moved his suspension from the early part, from the middle part to the early part of the season. At least in terms of how the Chiefs sort of envision this thing, maybe you would say on May 1st or June 1st, very little of those things have actually gone their way. Now it is about how do you get yourself out of it, how you find a pathway to the other side. I don't know if they have the bodies. I don't know if they have the personnel to turn their run game around. If there is a position that they need to be aggressive in trying to go get, like if you were telling me right now that they could add one player from the Dolphins to their offense, if it is Tyreek Hill or Devon Achane, I think they need Achane the second half more than they need Tyreek Hill. I think they can be fine in the wide receiver room if they get guys back healthy. I don't know if they have the bodies to turn things around in that running back room without finding outside help.
So here's my thing. First off, I'm not surprised that they're not that they about their belief in their team. We disagreed with it all offseason. Not that we need to credit ourselves, but I kept saying their thought is Isaiah Pacheco is going to get back to that 900 yard a year guy. He hasn't. I'm stunned that they're stunned. We saw it. Hey, this guy fractured his tibia last year. Like, maybe he's not going to come back. He didn't come back healthy last year. And they just like, nah, he's going to be good. So I'm surprised that they're surprised because I feel like this was an obvious outcome, but that's neither here nor there. As far as the trade for running back, A, you know how I feel about trading for running backs. But B, are we sure that just cures the problem? Because Pro Football Focus, which when the stats are good, people love Pro Football Focus. When the stats are bad, people, oh, Pro Football Focus is the worst. But Pro Football Focus has the Chiefs as one of the worst run-blocking offensive lines in the NFL right now. Now, if you want to tell me sample size and it's two games, that's fine. But I'm not 100% convinced that it's a who stands behind Patrick Mahomes problem. It's possible it's the people blocking. And we'll play the, we got a break here in a second. We'll play the Dan Orlovsky cut. He points out what all of us can see. Trey Smith has not been good to start the year. Juwan Taylor has not been good to start the year. Creed Humphrey has not been good to start the year. Josh Simmons has. Kingsley's been totally fine. I wouldn't call him good. I wouldn't call him bad. I don't know if you're going to put Jim Brown back there. If that offensive line is not going to run block a little bit, it doesn't matter who's back there. Their run game is going to be bad. So, yes, Pacheco's probably not good enough. Yes, the other three Jags they have in the backfield, probably not good enough. But it doesn't matter who's back there. If that offensive line ain't creating any holes, we have a bigger problem on our hands because that's where they've invested their money.
No, 100%. And someone on the text line makes that same point. CDOT, this isn't an Isaiah Pacheco issue. It's a utilize the run consistently. Did Pacheco have 10 carries last week? The big dog rushers get 20 carries a game. Someone else said, Pacheco, it's not Pacheco. This team needs to commit to running the football. I want to tell you guys that the Chiefs, between Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco, they gave them 18 carries. They got 53 yards. 18 carries. It's hard for me to sit on here and argue that they should have gave Kareem Hunt more when they gave, between the two of them, they gave them 18 carries for 53 yards. If you want to add in Breshard Smith, they ran the ball with their running backs 19 times and got 55 yards rushing. I'm sorry. So some of it, maybe it's offensive line, maybe it's Isaiah Pacheco, maybe it's, you can't tell me they didn't try to run the football on Sunday. They just were not effective at all in their ability to run the ball. That was the issue in week one. That was the issue in week two. We'll see if that's the issue for them in week three. Coming up on the other side, I want to play a quick game. And I also want to admit to you guys that I tried something you suggested. I'll tell you how it went. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. That we could play this game with you guys, but for whatever reason, they have just determined that our show can't give away prizes anymore. I don't know how that's the case when Rob is basically the number two in command. Speck is the boss. Rob is now the number two. The midday show gets to give away t-shirts and Wittesons and get to go on trips, and we can't give away anything on the show. Rob is a terrible advocate for our show. That's neither here nor there. I want to play a very simple game with you guys. Usually we would play The Price is Right. No, not for this one. I have renamed it. It is The Prime is Right. As you guys know, 1587 Prime opened up yesterday for Patrick Mahomes' birthday. Happy birthday to Patrick Mahomes. And they released a menu with the prices. So, Rob, I want you to envision that you and your lovely wife, Caroline. Caroline, if you're listening, hello. I want you to envision that you and Caroline, you were lucky enough to grab those reservations. Pat has no clue who you are, even though you and Patrick Mahomes have probably talked 25 times in life. And you don't get a discount. You don't get the homeboy hookup. You got to go there and you got to pay full price. This is what you ordered. Now, I know you. Sometimes you're adventurous with the appetizer. So I got you the Wagyu meatballs. Patrick was on the show and said that's what he got. He said he got the Wagyu meatballs. So you got the Wagyu meatballs. Let's say that you and lovely Caroline, you guys got the bone-in strip. You both got a bone-in strip. You got one, she got one. So two bone-in strips. You got to get some sides, right? You guys got the mashed potatoes, and you also got the lobster mac. Now, maybe you didn't want the lobster mac, but Rob, I want you to have the lobster mac because you and I have gone to a steakhouse or two, and you know I love the lobster mac. Now, you got to celebrate. Caroline just got a new raise. You also got a new raise. So you got to have something to drink. You got the Big Yeti. Well, let me tell you what the Big Yeti is so you know. And I got this because I've also had a drink or two with you. I think I know what you like. It is a Gentleman Cuts bourbon, a rye, some other words, I don't know. But it seems like your kind of beverage. She got the Alchemy. That's that one Taylor Swift drink, the one that looks all whimsical. The one that lights that stuff on fire. I don't know what it is, but you know the one I'm talking about. It looks real whimsical. You guys are having a feast. And then Caroline looks at you and says, can I get some dessert to go? So you got the cheesecake. Let me add it all up for you, Rob, so you know before you give a guess on how much your tab is going to be. For the appetizer, you got the Wagyu meatballs. You guys got two bone-in strips. For the sides, you got mac. You got lobster mac. You also got the mashed potatoes. You both got one drink. You got the Big Yeti. She got the Alchemy. And for your to-go, you guys got a cheesecake. How much do you think that would cost you at $15.87 Prime? We are playing the Prime is Right.
All right, so let's walk through the math together just for the sake of this. I'm guessing the Wagyu meatballs are like $20, okay? I'm guessing each steak is like $45, so now we're at $90, we're at $110. I'm betting a lobster mac is like a $18, $19. So let's say we're at $139. Those drinks are probably $25 a pop. So now we're at $179 before we get in cheesecake. I'm going to say this comes out like $207.
Can you turn the music down, please? Your tab at $15.87 Prime for everything I just told you would be $261.
Woo! We each had a singular drink.
That's how much your tab would be. Your tab would be $261. Now, I'm going to tell you guys two things before we get back to very serious football things. I think you guys will want to hear these things. I have a problem looking at the comments on Facebook. Like, whenever the Kansas City Star posts a story, I like to just read the comments. I don't even read the story. I just want to know the person that would be in the Kansas City Star comments arguing with people that they don't know on Facebook. Like, those people really intrigue me. So, you know, the Star posted this. All the places posted it. I think we were all curious to see how much this place would cost. It looks very nice. Let me tell you, they were in that comment section mad. How dare he? We pay his salary and I can't afford to go. Everything doesn't have to be for everybody. Now, I'm not saying you should go to Outback, but we don't have any problem that Eddie V's is in town. We don't have any problem that Capital Grill is in town or 801 Chop House. That's the kind of restaurant that this is. We're not mad at Ocean Prime. Go to Ocean Prime. Get yourself a steak. Have a great, fantastic meal. Nobody's mad at that. I would say that Pat has brought us something for everybody. We wouldn't have Whataburger if it wasn't for Patrick Mahomes. He gave something for the everyman, for the common man. Go in there and get yourself a late night breakfast burrito. Go in there and get yourself a Whataburger with a little Dr. Pepper shake. But if you want to celebrate your anniversary, you want to celebrate your engagement, take your lady down to 1587 Prime. I mean, this isn't a place that I'm going to go 3, 4, 5 times. But yeah, I'll go eventually. I'm curious. I want to see what it's like. The people in the comments, they were real mad about this. How dare he do this? I could never. Well, okay, that ain't for you. I mean, they got cars for regular people and cars for rich people. I'm assuming Taylor Swift ain't riding around in a Ford Focus. They got the high-end cars, and they got the cars for you. I'm okay with that. That's cool.
Was there a belief by fans? And maybe I just didn't see this.
I could have told you with where it was. It wasn't going to be for everybody.
He was opening a steakhouse at the Lowe's Hotel. This was not going to be Town Topic pricing. Like, I kind of knew. We were joking in the office. The comparison was going to be 801 Chop House or Capital Grill. It was going to be in that vein. And if you go out and you have one super night out and you decide to stay in for their month, hey, $15.87 could be great. But it's probably not a, hey, let's go a couple times a week type of great. It's a one-and-done place.
Yeah, you know, no, for sure.
I knew that when he was opening it.
Yeah.
You know what the Lowe's Hotel is not known for? Cheap eats.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So I just wanted to point that part out. The second thing that I want to tell you guys is sometimes I make fun of things without really having all the knowledge. It's a radio show. I mean, you guys get all mad in the text. I'm just like, it's a radio show. Sometimes you gotta sell the theater of it. So a couple of weeks ago, we did a story that it said almost half of adults admit to ordering from the kids' menu. Smaller portions, cheaper. And I was like, hey, I gotta pull your man card if you're walking up to the McDonald's and you're ordering the Happy Meal for yourself. If you're walking up to Five Guys and you're getting the baby burger for yourself, I got to pull your man card. Now, some of you are doing this just because your pockets is a little funny right now. And I'm not judging you if that's why. But if you're doing it just to be cheap and save a little bit of money, I am going to judge you a little bit for that. So today, I was out by Oak Park Mall and I went to Outback. And I remember the text line, Rob, was saying that Outback had a great kids menu. So I was like, you know what? Let me test it out for myself. Because I had never ordered from the kids' menu at Outback. Why would I? I was like, you know what? Let me do this. Now, I did tell the woman that was serving me. I did give her a great story about why I was ordering from the kids' menu. She didn't even flinch. She gave me all the options. Oh, you can get a grilled cheese, chicken strips, macaroni and cheese. You can get a 6-ounce steak. I'm like, for real? Let me get that. How much is that? She was like, oh, it's $10, and you get one side, and you also get a small loaf of bread. I was like, for real, for $10? She was like, yeah. It's like, okay, all right, let me get that. And I got a drink to go. So I was like, you know what? Maybe the text line is on to something. I came on here ready to apologize to you guys. Rob, you were there. You made fun of me when I came back and ordered it. And then I ate that steak. I'll never listen to you guys again when you give me a food suggestion. I'm dead serious. That was the most flavorless steak I've ever had in my entire life. I'm for real. I'll never, ever forgive you guys for that suggestion. I was living a happy, peaceful life before I listened to you guys. The text line was going crazy. They told me the Outback had the number one kids menu. No, never again. I'm serious. All the times you guys have made fun of me for food opinions and then you told me to go get the kids menu at Outback, with a straight face, I feel like a lot of you sent me out on a dummy mission. That's what I feel. I don't do anything to you guys. I try to come here every day. I try to do my job. I try to go home. You guys made fun of me for the kiss cam for really no reason. I was getting abuse from all sides. I'm getting abuse on my cell phone. I'm getting it on the text line. I'm getting it from the midday show. Rob was even making fun of me. Who can I turn to? Who are my friends? How many of us have them? But I thought y'all was trying to put me on a deal. I was going to tell you guys that tomorrow Five Guys is selling their burgers 50% off if you use the app. I'm not going to tell you that anymore. I want you to pay full price at Five Guys. In fact, I hope they charge you double at Five Guys now for how you guys treated me. I'll never forgive you for getting me to get the kids menu at Outback. They owe me money. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm still very angry at the text line. I don't know why we have such a love-hate relationship when I really care about you guys. It just doesn't feel like you guys care about me. Have you ever tried to date somebody and all you did was you felt like you gave and gave and gave? How I would describe it for those of you that have seen Friday Night Lights, I'm Landry Clark. You guys are Tyra Collette. Rob, you remember in the show that he made the analogy that she was the little boy from the giving tree? That's how the text line treats me. They just take and take and take. I'm here to give. I'm here to provide shade and fruit. What do I get in return? I get, hey, you should try the kids' meal at Outback. That's the kind of advice that I get for seemingly no reason. There's just, I don't understand it. There's no reason why this is the case. I don't have any friends. You're listening to The Drive. I don't even want to say congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. I hope you had an okay day. I hope it was fine. I hope you had a decent day at work. That's what I hope. All right, let's get to very serious football things. Let's get to the Chiefs. Let's start with Dan Orlowski. Here are his concerns for the Kansas City offense.
What would give me confidence? Patrick, that's it. That's the only thing right now that they're doing well. I would argue that Travis has actually played pretty well. I know everyone's like, oh my gosh, they're dropping the end zone, blah, blah, blah. I think Travis has done good things. Mm-hmm. Other than that, the offensive line is poor. So, like, is that just going to get fixed? No. Even Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey, who have been very good players, they're not playing up to their standard level. The receivers aren't getting open. I know the receivers that are going to get healthy or back from suspension are going to be different, but when does that actually happen? And that necessarily wasn't a dominant thing when it was going on. The tight ends can't block in the run game. The backs are struggling with their vision. They're winning. They're losing at the point of attack. Patrick leads the team in rushing. Patrick leads the NFL in quarterbacks running. Patrick had 88% of their offense against the Chargers and 81% of their offense against the Eagles. So it's like he's the only one doing something. So at some point, there's going to have to be something that happens in this offense or someone that makes me go, all right, I see it. I can see that evolution being a trademark pillar of their offense through 2 weeks.
This is what I want to ask you guys about. Maybe we can come together and be friends again. 913-586-7965. Do you guys think that people are overreacting about their offense? Because this is my hand-to-God, honest fear about the Chiefs' offense. I wonder if they are ever going to have all of their ingredients all at one time. They haven't for a very long period of time. They haven't had everything. And maybe that's just football. And no one's going to feel bad for you. You got to figure out a way to make it work. No one's going to feel sorry for you, especially when you've been to 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls. No one is going to feel that way. And the Chiefs have taken advantage of injuries of other teams. Again, that's just football. But my worry, my fear with the Chiefs is they have struggled. And I would say so far they have been incapable because of injuries to have everything kind of line up all at one time. And usually when they get one thing back, they then lose something else. When you have one thing, something else breaks. I imagine it's kind of like when people tell me how it is like own a house. You know, you own a house and then, hey, you feel like something's good. And next thing you know, the hot water heater goes out. Well, you get that thing fixed and now you need a new refrigerator. That's kind of my fear with the Chiefs offense. They got a month until Rashee Rice comes back. A month. Who knows what happens in that month's time? Rob, you and I are not particularly high on Isaiah Pacheco. Man, what did they do if they don't have him? What if they lose him between now and the next month? What if Xavier Worthy is not the same exact wide receiver? I mean, we're talking about a guy who has, I don't know if significant injury is the right term, but definitely not operating at 100%. You got to get Jalen Royals acclimated to the offense. He was a full participant for the first time in a long time. So I think at least some of my optimism with the Chiefs is, hey, you know what? Eventually, the sun is going to come out. Tomorrow, the sun will come out. Man, what if it doesn't? Do they have enough in the holster? Do they have enough pieces to make it work even if they don't get everything together? They have yet to have all three of their wide receivers play at the exact same time. Think about this. Still haven't. And there isn't a plan until for this to happen until we get to Halloween. You got to get Xavier Worthy to Halloween. You got to get Hollywood Brown to Halloween. You got to hope that that's the case. And then in the middle of doing that, you still got to give Rashee Rice time because he's essentially missed a year of football. I think right now, at least what I am trying to navigate is looking at the Chiefs and how they are going to be able to balance the very thin tightrope of just trying to get all their books in order to really get this offense going and get this offense operating at a capacity that I think is possible if they were healthy. They just haven't been healthy yet.
Maybe in that same vein, and it's kind of what Dan Orlovsky said in the cut there, I don't want to say concern, but I have some worry that fans are looking at Xavier Worthy this week and Rashee Rice in 4 weeks as some sort of white knight that is going to just fix the offense. Like, I think there is a thought among Chiefs fans that, hey, we're going to get Worthy back, so the explosiveness is going to come back a little bit, and then we'll get back to being the Chiefs, and all we got to do is survive in advance, and boom, week 7, here comes Rashee Rice. Offensive explosion. Patrick Mahomes was like Patrick Mahomes again. Watch out, NFL. And I worry that fans who believe that are putting too much pressure on two wide receivers to fix the offense. Because I would say, based on what we've seen for 2 weeks, the offensive issues the Chiefs have are deeper and worse off than just two wide receivers getting back on the field and it's fixed. This isn't like 2023, when it felt like if you had a wide receiver that could catch, you could probably fix some of these problems. Their issues so far offensively seem larger than that to me. So I do worry, and it's in the same vein of what you're saying, that there is a thought among fans that Worthy this week and Rice in a few weeks, and guys, just settle down, the offense is back. I don't know those two are the white knights fans consider them when they return from suspension and injury.
And I guess, at least for me, I don't want to dismiss the possibility that that could happen, right? Like, people's plans come together all the time. But I also think, we all have learned this in being adults. Rob, you've been on a vacation. I've been on a vacation. The text line, you've been on a vacation. You can 100% map out your plan on a vacation. Something always happens. Something changes eventually, right? There's more traffic than you had anticipated. They forgot your reservation when you get there. Like, it could be things that are completely outside of your control. You had things completely mapped, but things happen. The Chiefs, I think, have given us and given themselves a really good roadmap and an itinerary if everything goes good. And I guess what I'm worried about with them is they don't really seem to have a plan B or a backup plan. That quote that I read you guys about 30 minutes ago when it came to their offense, I'll read it again for you guys. So this quote was from Nate Taylor of ESPN. The Chiefs remain puzzled by its struggles in the run game. The team believed that Isaiah Pacheco was running like his old self at camp and that he would be productive right out of the gate, but that has not been the case. The Chiefs had a hope. It is impossible to deny this based on how they built their roster. They built their roster at least from a running back perspective, that they were getting the old Isaiah Pacheco back, which is really good if you got the old Isaiah Pacheco back. They don't appear to have him. What is their plan B in the run game if this is the version of Isaiah Pacheco that they got moving forward? Because you at least got to be open to this mindset. Now, I'm with you. He broke his leg last year. I get all of that. Man, Isaiah Pacheco hasn't been productive for this offense in a year. He hasn't been. There's no explosiveness, none of that physicality, none of the things that made you love Isaiah Pacheco are currently present. He seems like a completely different running back, whether it's through vision, whether it's through the sort of dangerous, violent nature in which he played. That's not the running back that they currently have. So either he will regain that confidence and they'll get that guy back and that will fix some of these problems, or what is their plan B if that's not the case? What's their plan B if you never get all of your wide receivers healthy at one time? Well, then you need Jalen Royals to really step up. You need Tyquan Thornton to continue to be that guy. I just don't know if they have a plan B with the run game. I think they possibly have one at wide receiver because they've had to deal with plan B for so long. I don't know if they have that currently with their rush attack.
I mean, I agree with you on the rush attack. Are we sure they have a plan B at wide receiver? Because I've seen 2 weeks this team at wide receiver. Tyquan Thornton has been a nice player. Like, I don't want to come off like he's bad, but it's not like he's, oh man, lightning in a bottle. They really found something. Their plan B is Marquise Brown, who Nate Tice said yesterday in a cut we played on the show, it's a nothing burger, and Tyquan Thornton, who is a really solid wide receiver, is a great wide receiver four to have, and if you had him as wide receiver three, I think you're probably happy as an offense, but it's not like, oh, if we lose Worthy for any portion of time or Rashee Rice gets hurt again, don't worry. We got Tyquan Thornton. Like, they have names, but are we sure the backup plan at wide receiver is that much better than the backup plan at running back? Because it seems like the backup plans have been lacking, and football's going to happen. That was my point about the White Knight. Worthy and Rice will return, but that doesn't mean bing, bang, boom, problem solved, it's Madden, they're back. Just put it at the top of the depth chart, football might happen again, and you might be back to plan B at some point.
No, 100%. I guess at least looking, and I think you and I are on the same page, at least when it comes to this. Their offense is not built for both of them to be missing. Their offense can function if one of them is not there. Their offense is not built to not have Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. Like, they just don't have enough on reserve to make it. Now, not a lot of teams do. Like, if you took the number one and number two offers receiver off a lot of teams, you were going to be able to struggle offensively. They just don't really have right now another thing that they can kind of rely on to get them through that. And I think that's why Pat has felt the need to take off and run as much as he has. I want to play one more Dan Orlovsky cut for you guys. This is him and Adam Schefter talking about what is at stake for the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football against the Giants.
They are in a tough division, in a tough conference, and they're 0-2. If we go back and look at teams that are 0-2 that have then gone to 0-3 and the chances that they make the playoffs, it's not an extensive list of teams. If we go back to 2000, there have been 117 teams that started 0-3. One, the 2018 Houston Texans have made the playoffs. Wow. So in this game on Sunday night, we have the 0-2 Chiefs and the 0-2 Giants. Somebody's going to be looking at that graphic.
Yeah.
You're going to say, Sydney, get me G18 on Monday morning.
That's
and
right.
They're going to be like, don't show us that graphic. I don't want to know.
And don't forget, the Chargers play the Broncos this weekend. The Chargers beat the Chiefs week one. If the Chiefs lose and the Chargers win, we're sitting at Chiefs 0-3, Chargers 3-0 with three divisional wins to start the season.
And just a very quick thought. You did their game on Monday night. I asked you, what was your biggest takeaway? What's the first thing you said?
The Chargers are as good as anybody in the NFL.
I'm trying to think back to a regular season game that I thought had the level of importance that this one does for the Chiefs. Because, and I think a lot of Chiefs fans feel this way. Nick Wright basically says this. It felt like for the last 4 years that the regular season has been a scrimmage. The regular season is you can tinker, you can kind of hold on to some stuff. Andy doesn't want to open up the playbook. Like, that is how we have talked about the Chiefs regular season now for 5 years. And I get it. When you have been as dominant as the Chiefs have been in the regular season, I understand why individual games and highs and lows, you are not as concerned with that. It is much more about how do we get to January? How do we function? This feels like the first they got to win regular season game, probably since that Thursday night football game against the Chargers. I think that was Thursday night. Remember that game? I think they were both tied for the division. The winner of that game essentially was going to have the advantage.
It was in L.A. around Christmas time.
And then Kelce had the game-winning touchdown. Maybe I'm misremembering. Text line, tell me if I'm wrong. 913-586-7965. That was the last time that I think it was pretty clear. You guys got to win this game. I feel like that's what this is. I know I'm not pressing the panic button. I don't think you're pressing the panic button. I don't think a lot of people listening are pressing the panic button. But you have to be sitting next to it. Because if they go on the road and lose to the Giants, their playoff hopes are in critical condition. They have created for themselves a very, very big deficit that they will have to spend a lot of time digging themselves out of. And if they can lose to the Giants, quite frankly, they can lose to just about anybody on their schedule. And their schedule is tough. We've talked about it. There's not a lot of gimmies this year on their schedule. They don't have the Cleveland at home this year. They don't have the Saints at home on their schedule this year. There's not a lot of teams that you would just say, oh, you can just roll the ball out there, or the Chiefs can play their C-plus game and win. I don't know if the Chiefs' C-plus game is good enough right now. It has been good enough for a long period of time where we've all seen it. The Chiefs will sleepwalk through a game. They'll get down 10 to nothing. Mahomes will make some magic happen. Next thing you know, they'll win the game on a last-second kick, and we'll say, why does it matter? This isn't the BCS. Skill points don't matter. It doesn't matter how you beat teams. A win is a win. Plus, good enough. I don't know if their C-minus game is good enough. They don't have the talent right now on the roster, I think, for their C-plus game to go out and just beat another team. So they got to play well on Sunday. They got to be cohesive on Sunday. They can't commit penalties and turn a second and two into a second and 12 because of a holding call on the road. I think what the Giants did show you last week against the Cowboys is they'll be scrappy. They'll be competitive. Now, sure, they might do some things late in the game that caused them to lose. That was a back and forth, nip tuck kind of game against the Cowboys. Russell Wilson throws an interception in overtime, and that ended up being the difference in the game. So I'm not saying like the Giants won't do things to potentially put themselves in a position to lose. But I'm telling you that we have seen games in which the Chiefs could just go out there and they just could out-talent you, they could out-coach you, they could out-quarterback you. They were just a better championship DNA team. I don't know if they got the ability to do that right now. They need to play well on Sunday. They need to play cohesive on Sunday. They need to figure out a way to win that game by any means necessary. You cannot fall to 0-3. Not in your division, especially with the point that Dan Orlovsky made about the Chargers. Not when Buffalo is good, Baltimore is good. You got Baltimore next week at home. You cannot afford to fall to 0-3.
Let me ask you the question that earlier this week you asked Patrick Mahomes. That whole interview is available on the podcast page. Is Sunday a must-win game because of everything you just said? Which is crazy to think. It's crazy to ask. I don't think it's an outlandish thought, though, to say when you head to New York, New Jersey, wherever that stadium is, on Sunday Night Football and you take on the lowly 0-2 Giants, is it a must-win game because of everything you just said?
Yes, this game's a must-win.
That is a... it's shocking. I agree with you, by the way. It's shocking the state of the Chiefs. When you are in week three, you are playing a team that we think might pick in the top eight, and we are saying it is a must-win game because Schefter had the stats in the cut. Everything you said is correct. If you fall to 0-3, I think we can stop calling it the arrow. I think we probably should stop calling it the Arrowhead Invitational this early in the season. We can stop talking about the AFC West, and we might be talking about fighting for a wild card in week 18 and needing some help if you go to 0-3, including a loss to I have very little regard for the Giants. They feel like a team that's going to bench their quarterback in week 9 to try to save their coach's job. You cannot go on the road. I don't care if they're home opener, and you cannot lose to that team to fall to 0-3. It just cannot happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Giants are going to be a team that's picking in the top 10. Like, I don't really see a reason to think otherwise for the New York Giants. I don't think they're one of the better teams in the league. They, to me, feel like a team that they are about to bench their starting quarterback probably in a month and go to the young guy in Jackson Dart. We all know this story. We've seen this storyline a million times. Head coach who feels like he's on the ropes, needs to save his job. The last card that you got to play is the first round pick that everybody's excited about. I mean, we see this story coming a mile away for the Giants. I would say keep pushing them along. Keep pushing them on that path. They're already 0-2. You can push them one step closer to that by beating them in their home opener. They fall to 0-3. They're probably out of the playoff conversation, especially with how good Philadelphia is. And there you go. So that would be my advice. I would continue to push them towards what we all think is going to happen with them. But as you know, Rob, the NFL, they're not going to let that happen.
The league won't allow it. I'm just going to throw it out there. The NFL is not going to allow the Chiefs to start 0-3. There's too much on the line. I'm sorry. Call me a conspiracy theorist.
I will.
ESPN can fire me. The NFL is not going to allow the Kansas City Chiefs to lose that game on national television to be 0-3. That's not going to happen. What are they going to do? They're getting married later. They're engaged.
But you don't really believe it.
All these nationally televised. I'm telling you. We're going to sit here on next Monday.
Well, they're
Sunday
just
going
to win, though.
We're going to sit there and we're going to say there's going to be at least three calls where we're like, how did that happen?
But do you think they're really going to need that?
Probably not. I'm just telling you, on top of the Giants not being good, the league just won't allow it. I'm like, honestly, people, rise up. Speak our minds here. Is there any world that the NFL is going to say, whatever we do, make sure the Giants win this game? The Chiefs are not going 0-3.
Text line 913-586-7965. Did you see the injury report today that was released earlier today? And you know what? Jalen Royals was a full participant in practice today. Rob, do you think this means that he is going to play? I think he's going to play. I think the Jalen Royals is playing. I know that usually they have a different practice schedule. I think it's all hands on deck. I think it's all hands on deck. Now, I don't think he's going to have a full route tree. I don't think it's a full complement of offense. But if you think that Jalen Royals is healthy enough and can help you in any capacity, I don't really know why you would make him inactive. Find something for him to do. Run a reverse. Run a go route, a streak route. Like, we can't find something that you can do in this offense right now to give us a little bit of something, a little bit of juice. So Jalen Royals would be playing on my team. If he's a full participant on the Thursday of practice, we're sitting here at 0-2 with our back up against the wall for a little bit. I would tell him that he needs to play.
I agree he's going to play. I don't know what his snap counts will look like based on percentage when we look at the game on Monday. I don't think he's healthy and he's in 75 to 80% of the snaps. Wow, the wide receiver room looks better overnight because Jalen Royals is out there. I think he's probably in under 45% of offensive snaps. I agree with you. They're going to have some packages for him and have a role for him in some capacity. I don't think he's going to be nothing. But I do think they're going to ease him along much more so than Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy, I think, is the guy that you're talking about. They're just going to plug and play. He's back healthy. Boom. Game plan back. Welcome to the offense. I think they might ease Jalen Royals in a bit, but I do think he'll be active and playing. Just to what level, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way of looking at it. I don't know what he's going to be able to give you. He hasn't practiced in a while. Wasn't really, I guess, super active in training camps. I mean, maybe they end up following the same criteria. Like, maybe the Chiefs don't see the urgency that I see for this game. Someone just texted in, guys, the Chiefs only have a must-win games and elimination games. You guys need to relax. I would just give you guys this stat. Since 2000, there have only been three teams that have made the postseason that started 0-3. Now, agree, the Chiefs are a different team. Coach, quarterback, all of those things. Since 2000, there have been three teams that have done this. I just wouldn't put myself in this category, especially with the opponent that you have. Win this game against the Giants. I don't care how you do it. I don't care if it's 9-6. I don't care if it's a 17-15 scoregami. I do not care how the Chiefs win. You cannot afford, especially when you look at the games they got left on their schedule. They still play Detroit. They still play Baltimore. They still play the Commanders. They still play the Chargers. You got two games against the Broncos. I just, losing to the Giants is not an option to me if we are talking about this being a team that you think can win their division and can win the Super Bowl. You cannot fall 0-3 because you lost a game to the New York Giants, especially when you drop the first two and your back is up against the wall. That championship DNA and playing in those big games, and this is a good time to break out that experience. Coming up on the other side, I want to talk about Thursday Night Football for a little bit. We'll do that next. Keep it right here, so drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I need you guys to help me understand something. These guys are represented by big-time sports agencies. I wish you guys understood how many people are involved in the day-to-day personal life for these athletes. I get it. You're a big brand. You got to be brand conscious. You can only do so many things. There's only so many hours in a day. You got the money. You got the resources. You need help throughout the day. Sometimes I wonder who these people have in their PR teams. Now, maybe you don't think it's a big deal, and maybe it's not. But I could have told the Chiefs wide receivers when they wore a Free 4 shirt, I could have told them what the reaction would have been. I do this every day. I kind of got a good idea of what's going to go viral, what's going to make you guys angry, what you guys don't care about. Like, I think I know. And if your teammate has pled guilty to two felonies and fled the scene of a crime in which people could have died, saying free him is probably going to cause a little bit of a backlash. Now, that's not what this is about. I just wanted to give you guys an example. Have you guys seen this Kyler Murray story? Have you seen it, Rob? Have you seen this story?
Yes, this makes the Chiefs PR snafu look so much better.
I don't understand how Kyler Murray didn't see that an issue was going to be right around the corner. So for those of you that don't know, on Instagram, Kyler Murray posted a picture of him in a Michael Vick jersey. Now, nothing wrong with that. I would wear a Michael Vick jersey. People are not mad that he wore a Michael Vick jersey. It's the next part. Kyler Murray posted a picture in a Michael Vick jersey while holding his dog. Bruh, come on now. Like, sometimes I think we as a society think that people are too sensitive about things, and maybe that's the case. But sometimes you walk yourself in to the outrage. How in 2025 on social media did you think that you were going to wear a Michael Vick jersey and post a picture with your dog as the quarterback of an NFL team and not think that that was going to be a big deal. Like, you can't live on the same planet that the rest of us live on. You can't keep up with the news. You can't do this if this is the case. No athlete should have control of their social media. I'm serious. None of them. Not Patrick Mahomes, not Travis Kelce, none of them. If you don't have the discernment to know that you taking a picture in a Vic jersey and posting a picture of you with a pit bull, you're an idiot. And I feel bad calling them names, but that is the only word to describe that action. You're an idiot. You deserve all the backlash that comes from it. You deserve all the negative press and all the negative publicity. I can't think of a dumber image thing that you could possibly do than what we saw Kyler Murray do. I'm serious. It actually makes sense why Kyler Murray has never reached his full potential. Have you ever like gone out with somebody and you're like wondering, man, like there's this person so great. And then you like spend time with like, oh, I get it. Like, no, I got it. No, I understand. That's how I felt about Kyler Murray. For like all the jokes that we've had about Kyler Murray for the last 4 or 5 years, the fact that he would post a picture in a Michael Vick jersey with the pit bull just told me you'll never win with that guy being your starting quarterback ever. Not even a little bit. Then he's got to release a statement. Just nonsense. Let's move on. It's just absolute nonsense is what it is. Rob, there's no way you would get me to touch the spread today for the Dolphins and Bills game. There's no way you could give it. I don't have any interest in touching it. You and I both know what's going to happen today, right?
Backdoor cover?
100. You can see this coming from a mile away. Right now, the spread, it is Bills minus 11.5. You can't see this being a 31-20 Bills win in which they're never in danger, but yet you lose your bet because it's a divisional game. The Dolphins play a lot closer and competitive than they're supposed to. You can't see this coming a mile away. I'm only touching this if it's like 17.5. I don't want anything to do with it. I'll just find other things to play. If you want to play the under, sure, play the under. If you want to play an anytime touchdown, sure. If there's a player prop that you like, if you're betting the spread on this thing, you are the reason that they keep building casinos in Las Vegas. You are the reason why DraftKings and FanDuel is just printing money on a day-to-day basis. You would never get me to bet on this game. I might even end up being wrong. Maybe Buffalo wins 41-7. I'm telling you that sometimes you got to stay away from the traps. And this game on Thursday Night Football, from a gambling perspective, it is a trap. Now, if you want to play it for Survivor, great. It's a great time to play Buffalo and Survivor. I'm not touching that 11.5. No siree. I don't want nothing to do with it.
Someone on the text line has exactly what I was just thinking. So, great minds text line. It feels like it's like 28-10 and Tua takes him down for an, oh, by the way, nothing touchdown to make it 28-17. And that's how the Bills win the game. Or like 31-20. Like, oh, it's 31-13 with the Dolphins score a nothing burger touchdown. The only people mad are the bettors. Like, it does feel like Josh Allen watching the sideline as a touchdown that is inconsequential is scored, and we have to talk about it tomorrow. Oh, bad beat. No, if you're on the Bills minus 11.5, you're signing up for a bad beat today. Now, if you want to make a parlay and buy some points as like package it into something, that might not be a bad play. But 11.5 is a sucker bet, 100%.
Don't touch it. I'm here to help you guys. I'm serious.
I'd buy the points down. I would buy them down.
You're about to have a week in a college football. You're about to have a week in, like, there's going to be good spots. Sometimes you don't have to make a bet or find something else. Find something else. Like, my favorite bet today is A-Chain. A-Chain anytime touchdown. It's at plus money. Yes, that's a good bet to make. Plus money. Like, that's where you got to find value. There ain't no value. There's no value in betting Buffalo today. None. Not a single point of value. Please don't do it. I just want to respond to this text really quickly. Someone on the text line, we were talking about the Kyler Murray thing, and the gentleman said that people need to basically toughen up. He said it in a more graphic way, and that he's tired of overly sensitive people. I do believe, and I agree, that sometimes our society takes really small things and makes them really big things. So I agree with you. That happens kind of frequently. And I also think that outrage has become the currency of the internet. I 100% agree with you there. I think that a lot of times the outrage that people have, it is like manufactured by companies to promote product. I really think that. If you can't see why, you shouldn't, as a starting quarterback of an NFL franchise that they've invested over $200 million in you, if you can't see why you shouldn't wear the jersey of a player who went to federal prison for transporting dogs across state line for the purposes of dog fighting while simultaneously holding your pit bull, then you also are an idiot. I don't think that's being overly sensitive. I think that's just using basic common sense. Basic common sense. That's just what I would advise you to do. Like, I don't think it's very smart for you to wear O.J. Simpson jersey and walk around with a knife. I'm like, oh, that was planned for Halloween. I would just pick a different Halloween costume. I just would be somebody else. There's plenty of things you could be. Plenty of other football players you would be. Why would you be that person? You aren't. You can't be surprised when other people are mad that that's what you chose to be for Halloween. You can't have that mindset. I'm sorry. That's dumb. It's really silly. I don't know what to tell you. At least when it comes to that, that's just really, really, really bad optics for Kyler Murray. And again, it really explains to me why Kyler Murray has never been able to reach his full potential. If that's your decision making as a 28-year-old adult, it explains so much to me. Patrick Mahomes would not do that. Josh Allen would not do that. Lamar, any quarterback that you think is like has a high football IQ or you think's really smart, I don't think they'd be in the middle of this controversy. Yet Kyler Murray finds himself in the middle of that controversy, and we have questioned his maturity for quite some time. They had a clause in his contract of how much he had to watch and study football. All of it makes sense why the Cardinals have been unable to move forward despite his immense talent. Keep it right here, it's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
The internet is funny. Rob somebody. Somebody. I'll tell you later, actually. I'll read it later. It was funny. I'm sorry. I got distracted. What's your feeling? What's your emotion towards the Chiefs heading into this week? I don't think we did this topic yesterday. I think I just went off on some tangent, so I apologize. What word would you use to describe how you feel right now heading into Sunday Night Football? How would you describe your emotion?
It's a great question. I would say worried. Worried's the word. Not panicked. I don't think it's like not alarmed. Those, it's not like a fire and, oh boy, we have massive issues, but there are some worries because there are some things you are seeing in week one and two that are problematic for a team that believes they are of Super Bowl caliber. They played two good teams. It's not the losses. It's the way they lost that has me worried. Now, like all worries in real life, you know, they can be squelched. You can take care of business and some of those worries fade away. But after 2 weeks, I would say I am worried about how the Chiefs have looked.
I would say that I'm fairly calm right now about the Chiefs. I know you guys like, oh, stop being negative. When you start off the season 0-2 and you're averaging 13 points a game or whatever they're averaging, I think it's 19 actually, excuse me, it's hard to be real sunshine and roses to kick off the season. I would say right now that I am pretty calm. This is why. There is a clear path to them getting themselves out of it. It's early in the game. Like, if we are looking at this the old way of breaking it into quarters, right? September is a quarter, October is a quarter. You know, there's used to be 16 games, so you break it down that way. We're midway through the first quarter, and I think we watched enough Chiefs games to know you don't overreact to a deficit early into the game. So however you feel right now, 2 weeks from now, you could be looking at a team that has completely gotten themselves out of it. They started 2-2, and here we go.
I will say, and I apologize for interrupting.
No, you're good.
For your analogy, though, in the game, we've never seen the Chiefs trail like this over the course of regular season. In Patrick Mahomes' career, for your game-to-season analogy, yes, in individual games, we have seen Patrick Mahomes trail. But over the course of the season, for your calm point, we have never seen him trail in the first quarter. He's never been 0-2. It's never happened. So obviously, he's never been 0-3. He's had, you know, really good September. So that is why I would say I am a little more worried. So for your game analogy, this is a little bit of newfound land that we're on.
100%. And that's why I say I think they can easily get themselves out of it. Like, if you could spin a wheel right now and say, all right, Chiefs got off to an 0-2 start. They are in a must-win scenario. You pick the team that you want to play. Actually, you know what? No, we're not going to let you pick the team. We're going to let you randomly spin a wheel, and you can vote to keep that team or not keep that team. If you got the Giants in that scenario, you're thrilled. I don't care where that game is. You're thrilled. Sure, you could do worse. I think you're very, very happy that's what you got. So we agree. Based on where we are right now, I still feel, for the most part, optimistic about the Chiefs. That can completely go out of the window by 10 o'clock on Sunday. But for right now, I'm still very optimistic about the Chiefs. And then you got a game at home against the Ravens to get back to 500. And if you can win that game, you pull that game off. You're now 2-2. And you feel like, for the most part, you have navigated this thing successfully. And you got out of the deep end of it, and now you're back at 500. You can breathe a little bit, and we'll see where the Chargers are. Maybe the Chargers are 3-1 in that scenario. And all right, you're a game back of the Chargers, but you got a home game against them coming up. We obviously still got a long season. There's no reason to overreact. I think, at least for me, I haven't kind of gone over to that other side. Is I just think there is a clear pathway to them being able to redeem themselves and find themselves back at 500. So as long as that still exists, I don't know if there's a reason to panic or feel a level of panic right now.
I agree with you. I'm not at panic. But let me ask a question. We both think they're beating the Giants. Like, spoiler alert for tomorrow's show, we're both going to pick the Chiefs over the Giants. I think we feel very similarly about the Giants.
Yeah.
You say you're calm because you're basically two games away from 500. What if you don't beat the Ravens? What if you're 1-3? You're still two games under 500, and now it's the end of September. Are you still calm because I know the team will figure it out, or does it feel a little more daunting with Jags and Lions on the horizon? Because I feel like a lot of your calmness is built on the idea they're beating the Giants and then they'll beat the Ravens. But if they lose one of those two, more likely the Ravens and the Giants, are you still in that calm category, or have you then swung a little bit and said, uh-oh, there might be bigger problems here?
I will start to feel worried if they are not at 500 at the end of the month. I'll start to feel worried then. Like, yeah, if we're talking about through the first month of the season, they're 1-3, then yeah. Because I would just say, and if we were basing this kind of off the past, maybe that's a wrong way, is like, I still don't think they've had that one Chiefs loss that you can't really explain. And we've seen them do that before, whether it's the Colts. Remember a couple of years ago, they played that really weird game against the Falcons late in the season that was like oddly closed for the first four quarters of it. Like, they haven't had that game yet. I mean, there's a chance that happens. You got the Giants, you got Jacksonville, you play Tennessee later in the season. Dallas could end up being that team. I think Houston could end up being that team. Like, Houston, I don't think is going to be a good football team this year. Like, so I, to me, they've lost two games against good teams. There is always the possibility, regardless of who you are in the National Football League, that you just drop one game that just you're not supposed to lose. I'm just hoping that that's not week three against the Giants. If you had started off 2-0 and you lose the Sunday Night Football game for the Giants home opener, I think it's like, football happened. No, this needs to be a level of attention to detail and focus heading into this game, just because you've kind of given up the early margin for error, and you need to start winning games. If you're trying to still win the division and you're still trying to be the one seed, it's a race to 11 or 12. Falling to 0-3 means you really got to do some work the rest of the season to put yourself in those conversations if you're trying to host the AFC Championship game, or you try to grab a wild card spot and, hey, we're going to get it that way. We've won the AFC Championship game on the road before. Why can't we win it again? I think that then has to shift and be the mindset. We'll be back tomorrow. We appreciate you guys. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.